Sarenjee Corbyn Council, end the secrecy and confusion. Leader fight against the cuts. Sarenjee Socialist Party. Sarenjee Labour Party members have been shocked and outraged by the announcement that their North London Council is considering cuts of a further 10% in its budget. See Sarenjee's Corbyn Council must refuse to make cuts. The previous right-wing Labour administration, led by Councillor Claire Cober, had already cut 40% from the borough's services. It also proposed wholesale privatisation and gentrification through the Sarenjee Development Vehicle, HDV, sparking successful protests. But most of those councillors were deselected last year by Labour members who expected something different from a new pro-Corbyn Labour council. This new council leadership has been planning more cuts behind closed doors, keeping them secret from the Labour membership. But some of the details have leaked out. For example, capping personal social care budgets to the cost of residential care. This means elderly and disabled people who wish to live independently will need to pay a premium to stay in their own homes. It's reminiscent in some ways of the Tories' notorious dementia tax proposal. A left council cabinet member described these cuts as putting Sarenjee in the vanguard of the most brutal cuts implemented by any Labour authority. The council leadership hoped a Labour councillors group meeting on the 22nd of November would push through decisions on the cuts, preempting discussions within local Labour bodies, and presenting the membership with a fait accompli. But such was the opposition reflected by councillors, that the Labour group postponed the vote for 1 week, while the leadership agreed to use reserves to at least soften the blow of some cuts. Councillors opposing the cuts had organised a meeting where Corbyn Minister MP Chris Williamson spoke. He described how his local Labour council spent years implementing Tory cuts. Voters promised to vote for him as MP, but told him they could not vote Labour in the council elections. The council leader lost his seat to UKIP, and the council fell to a minority Tory administration backed by UKIP and the Lib Dems. Chris Williamson's answer is a rising council tax, with Sarenjee councillors suggesting 100-150%, albeit with a rebate, to lower bands ensuring most residents do not pay a net increase. He acknowledged this proposal is not a panacea, as council tax is still a regressive tax that needs to be totally replaced. Also, raising council tax by more than 6% requires a local referendum, and would need a full year to organise and campaign for. Imagine the shock of local residents when they receive a letter asking them to vote for a 150% hike in their council tax. And even if the council can reach the majority of voters with a promise to pay it back, will it be trusted? He replied to objections from the floor that such a referendum would be lost, by claiming the only choices are council tax hikes or budget cuts. Even if it could be won, it would take over a year, but the proposed 10% cuts are to this year's budget. Chris Williamson said a referendum would democratize the choice and ensure that residents owned it. He described this as a win-win situation, saying if Labour is defeated at the referendum, and so forced to make cuts, then it is a people's choice. Some have argued these cuts will show local people the need to vote for a council tax rise. But in reality, both the cuts and the proposed council tax rise would utterly discredit the Corbynist Labour left in the eyes of workers and residents. In actions, cuts making left councillors would be no different from the pro-austerity Blairites that preceded them. At best, this would cause widespread demoralisation and disengagement, at worst, leave the field open to the populist right. Some councillors have responded to the brutality of the cuts by arguing against only those hitting the most vulnerable residents. But this would divide the fight back, with each sector having to argue it is the most vulnerable and that cuts should be transferred to others. The Socialist Party's approach of passing a no-cuts budget and fighting for the needed funds would instead unite the whole council workforce and local community in joint struggle against all cuts. Another proposal which has emerged is for the council to pass a cuts budget, but secretly not implement all of these cuts by spending reserves. This would also be a dangerous mistake. It would sow confusion in the labor and trade union movement. The message, and reality in many areas, would be that the Corbynists had approved the cuts budget. And council managers, many of them appointed by the Cobra regime, could still enact all the cuts as officially agreed. Thuringia Labour's manifesto conference in February passed a motion calling for the council to prepare a legal no-cuts budget, utilising reserves and borrowing. But whenever a no-cuts budget is proposed, councillors reference the strawman argument that an illegal deficit budget would mean imposition of unelected government commissioners to run the council. The truth is that nobody is advocating an illegal or deficit budget. The council has over £100 million of usable reserves and substantial prudential borrowing powers, which can legally prevent all cuts in this year's budget. Never mind that the Tories can't even control their own cabinet right now, let alone stand up to an anti-cuts council, if backed by a mobilized workers' movement. Councillors object that the no-cuts strategy is not long-term sustainable because reserves and credit cannot be drawn on indefinitely. This is correct. So the council would have to use that breathing space to build a campaign among the Labour Party, trade unions, council workforce, service users and residents, to win the needed funding from Westminster. The Labour Party alone has over 5,000 members in the Thuringia area. Some councillors have said they support a campaign against the Tories, but only the National Party can lead this, not local councillors. This is an abdication of leadership. The councillors are the leading members of the local Labour Party. And if they carry out cuts, it will seriously damage Thuringia Labour's credibility if it later tries to campaign against these cuts. Some councillors say Thuringia cannot win alone, and a national campaign is needed before they can take action. Certainly a coordinated campaign by multiple councils, backed by the national Labour leadership, would be a significantly stronger force. But this is not an excuse for inaction. How do we construct such a campaign? Thuringia, the first Corbyn council, has a duty to take the lead, launch the struggle, and call on other councils to join it. Even if forced to fight alone, Thuringia would be facing an unpopular, crisis-ridden, divided, minority Tory government. We can win. This is particularly the case if Thuringia Labour joins with the Socialist Party in calling on Jeremy Corbyn and John McDonnell to underwrite all debts incurred by councils who refuse to pass on cuts. Without the confidence to lead a struggle, even well-intentioned councillors can end up as a transmission belt for Tory cuts, discrediting the left in the process. But it is not too late for Thuringia Labour to set a no-cuts budget and mobilise a movement to force the Tories to restore its funding. Such a campaign would hasten the demise of this AMA's chaotic government and the election of an anti-austerity Corbyn government. Thuringia Socialist Party has written to Labour councillors to seek an urgent dialogue on this approach. Read the full text below. Local workers and Labour members showed last year that fighting gets results when together we defeated COBA and the HDV. With left councillors in office, rank and file pressure could win a no-cuts budget.